calling Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name, amen. Oh, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Oh, Master,
thank you.
and over again. You get sweeter and sweeter as that day goes by, man. 'Cause I keep falling in love with Him.
Thank you. be back here for communion this evening. Amen. Good to see some of you come back by the grace of God and moving back into service this evening. We'd just like to ask you to quickly take your Bibles. We'll stand for the reading of the Word. We'll jump right into it. We've got communion. And by the grace of God, we just want to give God ample time to say what we feel He'd be pleased to say. And by the grace of God, we just we want God to just be with us tonight. Amen. Is that your desire? If we had our Bibles, we'll open to Deuteronomy 24, verse 8. Of course, still dealing with leprosy. I can see by looking at this, there's probably several sermons you could preach on leprosy, but I'll probably allow this to be the last one until the Lord might bring me back someday, and we'll see where God will take us next. Amen. But pray this this thought has been a blessing to you. There's a lot of things that you can say, a lot of things you can move upon, a lot of different directions you can put it in. Tonight would probably be one of the more tough chastening ones, but perhaps maybe not. So we'll just get into the Word and we'll see what the Lord will do. I know everybody's tired tonight, but we just ask that you just give the Lord whatever amens that you can. And by the grace of God, we'll get into communion after this. Amen. So now in Deuteronomy 24, verse 8, says, "Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt." Amen. We'll move to one more portion. Let's go to Leviticus 13 if we could. Verse 1. It says here, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising scab or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest." Call that good. We'll bow our heads for a word of prayer as we approach our precious Savior. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, here we have, oh God, a little church that's gathered together tonight, God, and we realize, Lord, that the truth is never in majority, Lord. It's always in minority, Lord. And we just thank you, God, that, Lord, we might be partakers of this word, God. And Lord, you know our hearts, God, we want to see as many souls as possible saved, Lord. And we pray, lead us to them, Lord. We just ask tonight, Lord, as we're gathered here together, Lord, may we perhaps see something, O God, to encourage us, to draw us to a closer walk with Thee, Lord. Our God, our desire is to know You better, Lord. And Lord, how many times in this ceremonial law that we find, O God, written little mysteries, little confirmations that the Word is right and that it says the same thing in parallel as the New Testament. God, we just ask, O God, even now, You just come in our midst, God, and preach, O God. Lord, just allow Your Spirit to say what it would, Lord. I'll move myself aside, Lord, and by the grace of God, I'm glad I skipped them last couple pieces of pizza, God. But by the grace of God, we just want to be able, God, not to bring forth a tired, groggy spirit, Lord, but just to be able to come forth to You in the presence of this Word, God, with, O God, strength and vigor, Lord, to move into this Word. We just pray to have Your way now, Lord. Bless the children of God, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all believe You'll do so. And we pray. Amen. You may be seated. the grace of God, this morning we called, I believe our title was somewhere along the lines of basically the cleansing of leprosy identified. This evening we'd like just to give it the plain simple title. We'll be going backwards tonight, but we're going to entitle it Identifying Leprosy. Amen. This is a very couple long chapters here, and we're going to condense them as much as possible. I don't claim to know everything, and I certainly don't know what a hair types. Maybe someday I will, but not this round. And we'll just say a few things and just allow us ourselves to get into communion. But we just want to get in the spirit of communion, and we find that there's nothing better than getting into communion than to wanting and being the desire of being closer to God. Amen? So we just ask that you just help us maybe perhaps preach this evening. And I believe we'll say what we need to say, as we always try to allow God to do so. Amen? Now notice in Deuteronomy 24, verse 8, the Scripture says, "Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt." Amen. So now we're just talking this evening, remember, about identifying leprosy. And we want to pay very close attention to Deuteronomy 24, verse 8 and 9. And I want us to see that God, He literally put all the charge of leprosy in dealing with it on the Levites, on the priesthood. And by the grace of God, He commanded the people, He said, "Make sure that you listen to the priests. I've commanded them, so now you need to pay attention to what the priest says. And if you don't pay attention to that, remember Miriam." And church, as we get into tonight, I want us to understand that God, in His dealings in the old time, in the Old Testament, has found a fivefold in this day. And His desire is that we pay attention to the Word of God. Amen? He wants us to hear loud and clear what the Word says. But in hearing it, He doesn't just want you to be a hearer only, but He wants you to be a doer of the Word. Amen? And notice He tells them to observe those commandments, right? You have to observe them. Amen. If we ever hear anything from the Word of God, remember, like we are dealing with this morning, we want to make sure that we listen to the voice of God, right? Because the voice of God that we know comes forth from the priesthood, it is the voice of God that brings us into a rapture. Amen. Amen. God wouldn't have ordained a fivefold if there wasn't bride in that fivefold. Amen. But where you'll find a counterfeit, you'll find a real. Amen. And we are dictated by the Scripture that we must find the truth, stay in that truth, and that truth will bring forth the blessedness of this rapture to us. Amen. So now, notice if we could, I'm going to look at my clock and I'm going to try to be as diligent as possible tonight. We notice here in Deuteronomy 24, verse 8, it talks about how this is a plague. But when we begin to look into Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14, we find actually a different perspective of these things. And by the grace of God, we'll get into this. Because remember, a lot of people may look at leprosy, like leprosy is actually a disease. But when you look at the Bible gives us a different perspective of it, so to say. And I got some commentators that I'm going to read to you tonight. Yes, I got nothing of Brother Branham, but I got everything of everybody else. So, by the grace of God, I hope that's all right. I hope you can move into the man-age thought a little bit with me, because that's where this is from. And by the grace of God, we can find a little thought to be a blessing to us. Now, I'd like to work with Matthew Henry for just a moment. It says here, it says that leprosy, it was rather an uncleanness than a disease. or at least so the law considered it, and therefore employed not the physicians, but the priests about it. Amen. So when we read Leviticus 13 and 14, you see that the Bible is constantly, when it's talking to the priesthood, it says that leprosy is a matter of cleanness and uncleanness. Amen. Amen. That's important because we realize that sin is not a disease. Amen. Sin is a matter of uncleanness. It is a plague of uncleanness, right? And we know that when we look into the Word of God, notice God did not dictate a hospital for this, but God said, you take it to the priesthood if you see something wrong with your outward appearance. Amen. So God ordained that the priesthood would watch, would be watching over the outside shell of the church. And by the grace of God, we'll be able to see this in a few directions tonight, because we do want to be perfect. The Bible says in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is also perfect. Amen. And we want to be perfect, just as perfect as our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ can allow us to be. Amen. We realize God made everyone different. Some are finding it a little bit easier to sin than others. Amen. But yet we all have a problem with it. We all need help. We all need the blood of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, what we can't live as far as perfect for God, there is blood and grace to make up for it. Amen. But we show Him by our love that we love to do His commandments. Because in doing what His Word says, we realize we're loving God. Amen. That's the difference. It's not a commandment. It's a love. Amen. Brother Cam, why don't you steal no more? Because I love my God. Amen. They said something to me the other day at work. They said, well, why don't you cuss? And the one guy says, well, because the Bible says that. And I said, no. I said, yeah, but what it really is I love my God. Right. Hallelujah. Remember, was it James 1:26? It says, if a man seemeth religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth himself, and his religion is in vain. Amen. Amen. So if you can't keep this thing from telling dirty jokes and saying cuss words, there's something wrong with your religion. It shows that the religion you got, it is a deceiver's religion. It doesn't produce purity. Remember, what was it, Paul, that said, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. And if you're thinking it, you're going to say it. We can pull on that a little bit because none of us cuss, you know. Praise God. But notice how God, He would allow the outward condition or sin to be judged, if you want to type it, sin to be judged by the priesthood. Amen? Amen. Amen. Remember, the church is the house of correction. This is where we learn to live by God's law. We learn to love God because of His law, because of His Word. It's a righteousness that He fulfilled that you couldn't live up to. But you love living every piece like it, because you know what? When you got the nature of Jesus Christ, you like to look like Jesus Christ. Amen. So notice here, if we could, I'd like to go through a few of these matters. And I believe if we can just see a few things, it'd be a blessing to us. Let's go back, if we could, to Leviticus 13, verse 4. We realize what we read in Leviticus 13, 1 and 2, that when a man would have in his skin flesh arising or scab, bright spot, that the sons of Aaron would have to look at that to see if they had sin in their lives. Amen. Isn't that interesting? When people in the Old Testament had a form as far as a problem with their flesh, they would take that to the priesthood. Amen. I better stop right there. But notice here in the fourth verse, it says, let's read the third. It says, "And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. And if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day." Are you noticing some sevens here? Amen. Notice, "And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean." Now notice here, the priesthood, in identifying leprosy, they had to watch the characteristics of this plague, so to say, or uncleanness. But notice, sometimes it was cleanness and not uncleanness. Okay? But notice, if we could, here it talks about how the priesthood, that literally they would have to shut the individual up for seventh day. But the importance was placed on the seventh day. So on the seventh day, the priesthood would find cleanness or uncleanness with the individual. You'd have to check them to see what the condition was. The conditions were all riding on the seventh day. Amen. Almost like you could go to Hebrews 12 when it said they without us could not be made perfect. Amen. Like it was a condition that was facing the seventh day, even though we knew that they could not be perfected without us. The Scripture leaves the detail that what checking up on the seventh day is what it needs to be. Amen. Now I want to show you a few things here if we could. When we begin to look at this passage that we just read, notice in Leviticus 13:3, I'm going to read right in the middle of this verse. It says, "And the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh. It is the plague of leprosy." Now notice this, fourth verse. "And if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin," we realize the priest would have to put him away. And if it didn't spread on the seventh day, if it hadn't spread by then, he was called clean. Brother, what in the world are you talking about? Are you noticing a pattern with this? We see first off, in looking at this, that the plague of leprosy, if it was outright, it would go deeper than the flesh. But if that plague was only on the outside, there was a good chance that wasn't leprosy. But that leprosy would go deep down inside. Amen. It wasn't a matter of the outside flesh. Let me read you something. Romans 7:22. Notice what Paul says here. He says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Okay? "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Are you picking up what's being stated? You see, the plague of leprosy was a dangerous thing to a man when it was something that started from the inside. This flesh is going to do bad things. This flesh is going to fail you. You're not going to be able to tame it. No better than Paul. And we realize the Scripture says, but you can have a law of the flesh and you can have a law of the mind. And the law of the mind is on the inward side. And if you keep the mind focused on God, then what is there to worry about the flesh? Amen. So notice what counts is the inside needs to be clean. Amen. Your desire, your mind, the ability not to accept the reasoning and the lies that Satan puts on you. But notice, so you see the nature of sin. When it's just the flesh, this thing's condemned anyway. But when it goes to the inside and you love everything that this flesh loves, which is enmity with God, then you in turn have a little leprosy problem. Okay, sure. That's right. So notice, if we could, I want to get to a few things. I'd like to start, if I could. I'm going to go through this rather quickly because there's probably about 57, 60 scriptures here. And I'm just going to give you the commentator statements because that's just the easiest way to go. It's the quickest way to go, and you get the point really quick. Amen? But notice, I'd like to work with K&D's commentary this evening. It's literally it's an Old Testament commentary, and it's very good. I find some things in there I can preach sometimes. It's real nice. But I'd like to work with a little bit of the thoughts that they have here. They literally have bunched all of these leprosy judgments into four cases. And they show what the four cases are. And almost every single one of them means you have leprosy. Except for pretty much one or two little cases here. And one of them is what I just went over. If it's on the outside, you just leave them stayed there. If it ain't spreading, they're not unclean. You can release them back in the camp. Amen. Amen. That's what kind of camp we should be. We should have the love of God so full in our heart and the hatred of the world as our ally. Amen. I don't want to conform to this world. Not one ounce of me. God help me. God knows the inward desire of my heart is to give God all the glory, honor, do His name. Amen? So notice here, we have this first portion here in Leviticus 13, 2 through 8. We're not going to read it, but here's what it says. It says, this is the first case. It says, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a raised spot or scab, or a bright spot. And according to the commentary, do you have that on there, brother, or not? You do have that. Okay. But here he says the Greek or the Hebrew word means lifting up. So if you have a lifting up in your flesh, signifying an elevation of the skin in some part of the body, a raised spot like a pimple, an eruption, scurf, scab to pour out, says then, you got a problem. So notice this problem with leprosy. First, you see, you have an issue with a raising up. An elevation problem. As it would say here, a problem with rising. Amen. You'd have an issue where your temper begins to rise a little bit. Or you can't control the elevation that you're dealing with. When a challenge or something comes your way, you're dealing with a little spot of leprosy. Yep. So notice, it can show forth as a bright, swollen spot. Now, the next portion, it goes into the second case, and it talks about the cases without previous eruptions. It doesn't really emphasize very much here, but it's just it's showing a spot that hasn't been touched before. Okay? Now, the good thing about this is that there's a manner of this that actually is proclaimed as cleanness. Okay? It depends how it spreads. Okay? Can I go through that a little bit? You mind? Now notice here, according to Albert Barnes, another man-age commentator, love him. But we realize in the 12th through 17th verse, it says, the disease here indicated appears to be that known as lepra communis, or the common white leprosy, or dry tetter is what it's called. It first shows itself in reddish pimples, the surface of which becomes white and scaly, spreading in a circular form until they meet together, cover large patches of the body. It scarcely affects the general health, and for the most part, disappears of itself, though it often lasts for years. Now, here is the funny part about that. If you look in the commentary, or the scripture, it says, and if a leprosy, 12 verse 13, 12, says, if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his toe, wheresoever the priest looketh. Okay, so it's actually talking about an outbreak of leprosy. But notice, this leprosy, it instantly breaks out. And it's all over the vessel, head to toe, everywhere. Amen. Notice this, it says, then the priest shall consider it, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all of his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean, that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. Which means that it's common leprosy. Now notice, there's another angle to this. It says, and the priest in the 15th verse shall see the raw flesh. Now there's another word for this in the Hebrew. And the word raw flesh actually means proud flesh. All the commentators talk all about it. The proud flesh. So notice, and the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. So if you get a big outbreak of leprosy, as long as that raw or proud flesh don't stick around, you're all right. 16th verse. Or if the raw flesh turn again and it be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. Amen. So we've seen a little elevation or a little a rising part of leprosy. And now we're seeing that there's also a portion that can come forth with raw flesh or a proud flesh. And if that leprosy loses quickly its raw it's raw identification, then it goes back to white and leads back to being clean. But if the pride stays there, it's identified through pride. So notice, if we can continue. Yes, I just love the commentators. I don't know about you. It says here, Leviticus 13, 14 through 19. I'm going to read another portion. It says, the third case, if the leprosy proceeded from an abscess which had been cured. In Leviticus 13, 18, first of all, used absolutely, then resumed, and the latter again is more closely defined. If there arises in the flesh, in him, in his skin, abscess, and it is healed. And there arises in the place of the abscess a white elevation, or a spot of reddish white. He, the person so affected, shall appear at the priest. So notice here that literally you can have a person that has an abscess. Now, if you look up Webster's 1828, an abscess is actually a collection of morbid matter. Which is what an abscess is in your body. It's a collection of junk there that needs to come out. It usually takes the form of pus. And if you're not careful, leprosy can come forth from the abscess. Third case. So, what you find is you find that if you're delving into morbid activity or collecting, let's say, material of death, that could take many, many forms, of course, you'll find that you can spring out in leprosy in no time. Oh, aren't we just a bunch of healthy people here? It's all right. I just want to show you a little different direction of leprosy tonight. This ain't the fun one, is it? If I got pride, I got leprosy. If I got abscess, leprosy. If it's going deeper than just on my flesh, I got a little problem there too. If I got a lifting up issue, yep, got problems, yep. I'll move on. Almost done. Leviticus 13, 24 through 28. This is the fourth case that they identify. And it says, if there was a burnt place upon the flesh, the skin of the flesh, a spot where he had burnt himself with fire, or a scar of a burn. It says, and the life of the scar, the skin growing or forming upon the scar, becomes a whitish red, white spot. If it formed itself into a bright, swollen spot, this was to be treated exactly like this previous case. The rising of a scar of a burn, rising of the flesh, skin growing out of the scar of the burn. So notice, if you've been burnt, and a scar remains from you getting burnt. Not anybody here. But say somebody treated you wrong some point in time. Or maybe they didn't and you think they did. And you feel burnt. If you're not careful, a root of bitterness can spring up in that scar that you got. Amen. So notice, you have to be careful when you're dealing with scars and burnings. When you're dealing with raw flesh, pride, and all these things. Now, like I was trying to tell you, there's only four stages that they identified here that the priest would have to look at the condition, and there's hairs behind it, and there's all these things. If the tip was white, then that would mean they had leprosy. But if it was normal color, it means they'd be healed. And all these other little details there. But notice, if we can see more importantly, is that there are some characteristics of the mind that follow with these things. Leprosy is more of a battle of the mind than it is the flesh. Because remember, just like we said, we have a law of this flesh. It's given because it's flesh. But because we have took on a nature change, which does not change the flesh, it changes the inward man. We have to guard the outside and make sure the outside isn't motivated by the inside. Like I said, when we're working with all these little details, we have to make sure that by the grace of God, we are looking from the inside out. Okay? Now, very quickly, let's turn in our Bibles, if we could. Let's go to Leviticus 13. 45. This is some good pastoral preaching right here. Actually, it's probably better off if it'd be evangelists, because they're actually supposed to come into the church and tear your hides off. Now, Leviticus 13:45, and it says, And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Now this is what God commanded the priest to tell the individual who had leprosy. You have to cry out. Verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Now, notice, I'd like to go through this just generally very quickly, but you understand that when leprosy would come into an individual, the rule was you left the camp and you cried out you were unclean. And as long as that plague was on you, you were defiled. Brother Cam, you're telling me I got to leave the church. I ain't telling you to leave the church. I'm telling you you need to get rid of your leprosy. Amen. I need to get rid of some leprosy too. I know I can't get rid of leprosy communists, because God made me join to it. Amen. But if I can just keep it skin deep, that's what we're wanting. We're wanting a sin that follows us and it just moves on a skin level and it does not come on the inside. Talking about feeding a white dog. We're talking about letting the inside dictate the outside like it never has before. Amen. It takes a love of God. Okay? But notice, if he cry out, unclean, unclean. Remember when we got to the New Testament and we read this morning, Matthew 8:1. When Christ come, he said, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You realize, no leper had been cleaned outside of a Gentile. And here, you see, of course we had the story of the 10 lepers, but now we got this one. And we realize that here the multitude's following, and he cries out, Lord, you can make me clean. He cried out, unclean.
Amen.
And he cried out to the Word.
Amen.
He wasn't worried about what people thought. He was worried that the Word heard him. If we could all just change our mentality. Amen. If we didn't have to worry about, oh, well, somebody's going to think I'm a sinner if I cry out. But this is the way. You see, this leprosy could be seen. It was just a matter that the individual had to be so desperate that he wanted to be clean. If thou wilt. He didn't say, if you can. He said, if it's your will. Third verse, and Jesus put forth his hand. I bet his dominant hand was his right hand too. And touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Notice when Christ came, John the Baptist did no miracles, but here Jesus is. He heals 10, and now he heals this one too. And looking at it, he says in the fourth verse, he said, Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, and shew thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now notice, here this leper was outside of the camp. A leper had to be outside of the camp. And look at what happens here. This leper cries out to the priest, look me over. If you will, I can be clean. Outside the camp. So, Jesus washes away the leprosy. But notice, Jesus doesn't do away with the law. Because he hadn't fulfilled the law yet. But because he was living the living Word, he healed this body because he cried out in faith. But look, he still says, shew thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So you had to bring a couple clean birds. And they had to chop the head off of the one bird and pour out the blood and the water with the bird.
Amen.
And then they had to let one bird go free. Do you realize what he's doing? He's showing himself in type to those priests. They say, well, how did you get cleansed? Remember, if you actually read the other portion of Scripture, it said that he publicized it. He told them who did it. And they scorned him all the more. Well, why was it? Because they were still living under the type that the bird had to die. So it was all moving him into a place to be sacrificed. It was all showing him, or showing that he would still live by the law until he fulfilled the law. Hey, amen. You didn't need to do the birds afterwards. But it was a testimony unto them. So he cried out, unclean, unclean. And Christ come and healed him.
Amen.
All he had to do was cry out. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8. Says, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Salvation not to be repented of. So it says, finishing off, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the same self same thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, a burning desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter, to be clean in this matter. So the issue that we're working with here is a lot of times we allow leprosy to come on us. And it puts us out of the camp. And oft times we just stay out of the camp. But if we cry out, unclean, unclean. If we cry out until the defilement of sin would leave us. Paul said, I preached it to you. I rebuked you with it. And I'm not happy that I made you sorrow, but I'm glad that you sorrow to repentance. We got to want to be clean. We got to desire to be at a place that only the flesh on an outward level is our sin. Because out here, it's all right. But inside here, not good. Remember your prophet, he said, a confession with dry eyes is a tradition. And on the other hand, he said, he's seen a man come up to the altar and cry crocodile tears. Went down crying crocodile tears, a sinner, and got up a wet sinner. You can put on an emotion. You can put on a lack of emotion. But if you can just put on sincerity, if you can just put on the real you talking to the real God, the real you crying out to the real God, then God will give you what you're looking for. He'll take your uncleanness away. Just wanted to lay a little thought in there. Maybe if we could, let's just bow our heads. We'll say a little prayer before we go into communion. This sermon was not to destroy you. The sermon was just to show you what types leprosy works through. The pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. these type of things. Let's just bow our heads. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God. Lord, moving into communion, Lord, we just took a little thought here, Lord. And God, I just meant to show the church, God, a few of the forms of leprosy, God. The stages, how they work, oh God, and if they can be cleaned, God. And Lord, we realize that this sin that we're wearing right now, we can't get rid of that, Lord, until our body change. And it's the flesh that every man is subject to. And God, we'll be subject to it all our life, God. But Lord, we're asking this evening, God, that You, oh God, in turn, Lord, would convict us in a deeper realm, God. Lord, come after the loves in which we express, God. Come after the tendencies, oh God, the issues that we allow our flesh to put forth, Lord. Certainly, they most often come forth in these forms that we dealt with, God. And Lord, You know mine, Lord. Lord, my desire is, Lord, You just take those things away, Lord. Give me strength, God, to shine forth, Lord, a life that just has a sin nature on a flesh. God, we want the Holy Ghost nature inside. And we want it to shine forth. And Lord, we want it to so shadow that flesh that the shadow rarely shows its face. God, we just desire, Lord, a greater walk with You tonight. And Lord, we want to be sincere how we come to You being communion, Lord. We want to make sure everything's right, Lord. We want to trust, God, that Your grace is enough. And Lord, as we come to this table now, we just ask God that, Lord, You'd free us, God. Free these loves up, God. Work in our lives. Tear every love out outside of the one that needs to be there, Lord. We don't mind doing other things, God, but Lord, and we know You don't particularly care so much about that, but Lord, You want us to do, oh God, to do what's right first, God, and that's to have You as our first love, Lord, to be a prisoner to that life. God, I pray You just inhabit us, God. Strengthen us, God. Take our weaknesses and turn them into cleanliness, God. Lord, it's our desire that we would be seen as clean, God. As we'd be seen as cleared, God, of all these other loves, God. We know only divine love's going to the other side, God. We pray You just move in our lives now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The bride says, amen. If we could, we'll turn into our Bible to 1 Corinthians 11. As we do every month. Let's start. Let's read a little bit more tonight. 17th verse. It says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that with they which are approved may be manifest among you. And when ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we had judged ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Amen. We're just going to invite those partaking in communion to come forward at this point in time. We'll make a little circle up front, as we usually do.